Today we were discussing text 24 about Divya Saraswati and Swaha and the Gopal mantra, which is often called the Krishna mantra. But there's an entire Upanishad written about it called Gopal Tapani Upanishad. And the mantra also appears in Narada Pancharatra and in other places. So it's this particular mantra. This is the 18-syllable Gopal mantra. There's also a 10-syllable Gopal mantra, 8-syllable Gopal mantra. Chaitanya Bhagavat explains that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was initiated by the 10-syllable Gopal mantra, right? Gopi Janavallabha Swaha. Because for Mahaprabhu, he's Radharani. So, of course, as Gurudev understood his mood and mission, so Nishwarpuri gave him Diksha. He didn't bother giving him Krishnaya or Govinda. He just gave him Gopi Janavallabha. Because Mahaprabhu is Radharani. So we say, Klim Krishnaya Govindaya. So Krishnaya is Sambandha Tattva, Madan Mohan. And Govindaya is Govindaji. And Gopi Janavallabha is Gopinath, Prayojana Tattva, the goal of life, pure love of God. So Mahaprabhu came to give love of God, and he was absorbed in Radha Bhav as Radharani, in the mood of Radharani. So he got the 10-syllable Gopal mantra. And for those who have read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami, they also see that that's the mantra Gopa Kumar chanted in his spiritual sojourn to find the satisfaction of his heart. He chanted the 10-syllable Gopal mantra. And of course, that Gopal mantra, that did a lot for him. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you see the Gopa Kumar, he chanted the Gopal mantra and he went from planet to planet and position to position. Because but in his heart of hearts, he was never satisfied, even when he had the post of Indra and Brahma and all these different posts that he took, and he ruled over as the king of the universe. And then he always, in the bottom of his heart, he said, well, actually, this is nice, but I want something more. And he would start chanting his mantra. Then he would get inspired by that Gopal mantra with Braj Bhakti, with Braj Bhav, and again continue his pure spiritual pursuit to realize Gopal. So it sounds a lot like some of us. We chant our mantras and we get various positions and enjoyments, and then we forget about our real attainment and why we came to spiritual life, and we forget about the real goal of our mantra chanting and the real goal of our endeavor, and we kind of wallow in the temporary abyss of sense gratification and forgetfulness. And then we again take up our seriously chanting our mantras, our Ainik, our Gayatri, or our Maha Mantra, and then we get some spiritual renewal and be reminded, oh yes, actually, this is not it. Sense gratification, position, power, fame, money, woman, man, family, this is actually not it. This is not the reality which I have been seeking for life after life. And then again we get inspired and get serious about spiritual life. So we were discussing something about Saraswati, who is designated in this verse just so no one misunderstands who it is. It's Divya Saraswati, as opposed to the daughter of Brahma, or sometimes it's said the wife, in different places. Generally in the Indian understanding, in most shastras, they'll say that the wife of Brahma is Saraswati, and his daughter the wife of Brahma is Savitri, and his daughter is Saraswati. Although some places says he has two wives, Saraswati and Savitri. And we see in Prabhupada's books and also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he often says that Saraswati is the wife of Lord Brahma. So this is not her. Because at this point in time, in this point in creation, he was the first one. He's called Atma Bhu. What does Atma Bhu mean? It means self-born, because someone asked a question when I took this class, 7 years ago or so, with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I heard this class, and someone asked a question, well, is Brahma the son of son of Vishnu? And he said, no, he's not the son of Vishnu. He comes from Vishnu. He comes from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Then there's a lotus flower, right? He's called Swayambhu. Swayambhu or Atmabhu. Swayam means your own. You're self-born. Self-born. Swayambhu. So Atmabhu means he's born. He doesn't have a mother. He doesn't have a father in one sense. Of course, another sense, Krishna is the father of everything and the source of everything. That's also there in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva yonasya kaunteya murtiya sambhavantiya. So anyway, back to Saraswati. She's considered to be the consort or wife of Lord Narayan or Mahavishnu. She's another form of Ramadevi. I think I read that yesterday. And then the question was asked, can you consider that Saraswati is a Diksha Guru of Lord Brahma? And in one sense, you can say yes, Saraswati is a Diksha Guru or Lord Narayan. Because in one sense, according to Vedic definition, Diksha means the receiving of Gayatri. And we'll discuss that in maybe tomorrow. What is the difference between mantra and Gayatri? So Diksha means receiving Gayatri mantra. Because generally Diksha means Brahman Diksha. And Gayatri mantra is a particular class of mantras. There's four or five different classes of mantras. So when one receives Gayatri, that's considered Diksha. So you see in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati himself, when they give initiation, they give it in many tiers. They give it in many steps. Steps means first you live in a temple and do service and do bhajans and chant Hare Krishna. You don't chant any beads. Beads are given by Guru at the time of initiation. So they give Harinam, and at least they give the beads and tell you to chant Hare Krishna. And then they give Diksha. The Guru gives Diksha. But before that, before he actually gives the Brahma Gayatri and Kam Gayatri, he will give other mantras. He may give Gopal mantra. The person's new in the temple. Before you get Brahma Gayatri Om Bhurbhuvasva or Kam Gayatri, which is a Gayatri mantra, which is called Diksha, you may be, you know, in the temple and you'll get Gopal mantra, which we're hearing here. So, Guru mantra, Gaur mantra, but not Guru Gayatri, not Gaur Gayatri. So this is considered a specific thing. So the question that's on the floor here is, the question we're understanding here from different angles of vision, is Divya Saraswati the Guru, the Diksha Guru of Brahma? So the answer is yes and no. No, because she didn't give him a Gayatri mantra. She gave him Gopal mantra, which is not a Gayatri, which you'll learn what that means and later, and tomorrow maybe, another verse. It's part of our discussion. Or you can say, yes, she was, because she gave mantra. She was sent by Narayan, as are all gurus sent by Narayan, and all gurus give mantra. Narayan is Krishna. Krishna is living in the heart of the jiva as Chaitanya Guru, and he's living in every atom, and he's living in Vaikuntha and Braja Gokul in various forms, merciful forms. And so when he sees that the sadaka is, as we describe here in this verse, we read the translation, right? That Brahma was in, he saw gloom in all directions. This is the translation, right? He saw nothing but gloom in all directions. You see that, page 40? What does gloom mean? Gloom means darkness. There was nothing but darkness. So he was in darkness and he was in an anxiety, and so then Krishna sent him Guru. So the same way, the individual jiva who's following the example of the archetypal living entity, Brahma, he's also sees nothing but gloom in all directions. Right? There's four categories of people that see gloom in all directions. Right? What are those four categories? Chatur vida bhajante imam jana sukritin arjuna arto artarti jignasur yanecha bharatarshava. So Krishna says there's four kinds of people that see gloom in all directions. Right? So Brahma is one of those. He was bewildered about his duty, how to do his duty. He was in anxiety. Some people are in anxiety and they go to God. Some people want money. They want enjoyment. They want knowledge. They're curious. All these categories are there. Artha, artarthi, jignyasur. So he was like, he was in anxiety. He was in anxiety about what to do and what his function was. So then Guru came. So in another way, Saraswati is also Guru because she's representing the mercy of Narayan to alleviate the suffering and gloom and darkness and bewilderment of Brahma. Devi Saraswati is the transcendental consort of the Lord. In Goloka, the spiritual world, a demigod, about the prototype demigods, because this kind of brings up that topic. That's how Saraswati was the wife of Brahma. I said, at this point, there's nobody. There's no wife, there's no daughter. She can't be the daughter or the wife or anybody, because there's nobody existing except him. So then, therefore, this brings into this concept which we discussed before about the prototype demigods, the Sada Shiva, and then we'll hear some discussion about this. So this is another example. The Divya Saraswati expands into the material world to become the wife come daughter of Brahma, and she in fact is the goddess of learning, the goddess of mundane learning, which every good school child, school boy and girl in India will have a little picture of Saraswati throughout their school days on the wall of their room, and they'll do a little puja and they'll pray, oh, please help me pass my exams, please help me be a good dancer, please show me how to sing nicely, please help me, you know, become expert on tablas and sitar, and you know, they'll pray to Saraswati like this. So there's the goddess of material learning and material mantras and material music and dance, who is the the wife or the daughter of Brahma. But then there's her source. Just like Durga is an expansion of Radharani, which we've already discussed. So Durga, she benedicts her worshippers with what? With material things. Right? There's some of the whole of Bengal is worshippers of Durga. Dhanam dehi, janam dehi. Right? Dhanam dehi, janam dehi. Give me followers. The politicians, they worship Durga and Vaishnavi and all these different Chandi and everything. Give me followers. Janam dehi, dhanam dehi. Give me money. So Durga, she fulfills their desires and benedicts them. But then there's her spiritual counterpart, her prototype, the source of Durga, which ultimately is Radharani. So Radharani, she also benedicts her worshippers. And she also blesses her worshippers. Prabhupada said the purpose of coming to Vrindavan is to take shelter of Radharani. This is in the purport, one of his books. This is the purpose of coming to Vrindavan, to take shelter of Radharani. Radha Ashraya. Radha Ashraya begins with Guru Pad Ashraya, because Guru is the representative of Radharani. So taking shelter of the lotus feet of Guru is the beginning of taking shelter of the lotus feet of Radhika. Radhika Charan Ashraya. So when one worships Radharani, he doesn't get Dhanam Dehi, Janam Dehi, he gets Bhakti Dehi, Prema Dehi. He prays to Radharani, please bless me with Braja Bhakti. Please bless me with pure service to Sham, pure devotional service. And because she is the Adya Shakti and Sarva Shakti Mayi, she's described in Adi 4, Chaitanya Charitamrita, she's Sarva Shakti Mayi. She is Mayi. She is made of all the Shaktis, so naturally she can bestow any benediction upon you, especially spiritual, which is her purview. But when it comes to bestowing material benedictions and giving material benefits, then she acts as Durga, or Ma Durga, Shakti Ma, Om Durga Ma. Oh, they see it on all these Indian cars and all their windshields. Om Shakti Ma, Om Durga Ma, Jai Durga Ma, Jai Durga Ma. You know, they're driving their car. So the same way, Divya Saraswati, the prototype Saraswati, or the original transcendental model from which the devata or demigoddess expands from, she bestows spiritual benefits and spiritual mantras upon devotees like Brahma, who's receiving a spiritual mantra for ultimately spiritual purposes. So this is something about Divya Saraswati. But when somebody doesn't want spiritual purposes or spiritual knowledge, then she expands herself as the wife or daughter of Brahma and gives and acts as the goddess of learning. Just like the verse says, then the goddess of learning Saraswati, the divine consort of Lord, the Supreme Lord. That's the verse. It's right there. So then someone says, wait a minute, I thought the goddess of learning was the consort of Brahma or the daughter of what? But you have to look a little closer, because it's the Divya Saraswati. It's the goddess of learning, Divya, the transcendental, the divine. See, the key word there is divine consort. Divine means Divya or transcendental. In Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, The demigods exist in their pure transcendental forms as eternal associates of Krishna. Just like you read about the spiritual world and about Surya Puja and about the moon coming up and the sun and the demigods. Well, they're all there in spiritual bodies. In their pure spiritual transcendental forms as eternal associates of Krishna. This verse, Brahma Samhita verse 24, describes the Siddha Saraswati, the Divya Saraswati, who is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, not Lord Brahma's wife. That's what Bhakti Santa says, wife. Jiva Goswami explains in Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheda 106, the spiritual demigods who protect the Goloka planet are described in the Rig Veda 10.90.16. Quote, many eternally perfect and glorious demigods protect the spiritual world, like Gopishwar Mahadev, Kundeshwar Mahadev, Chakaleshwar Mahadev, Nandishwar Mahadev, Bhuteshwar Mahadev, right? Digpal. They're protecting the spiritual world. This Vrindavan is the spiritual world, and they're here protecting it. You can't enter the Rasa dance unless you get through the gatekeeper, right? The Digpal is Gopishwar Mahadev. And what you have to pay him, do you know the entrance fee? You know the entrance fee to enter the Rasa dance? You have to surrender your Purusha Bhav. You have to surrender your Purusha Bhav. In other words, the guy has a crore of rupees, right, in his pocket. And he says, how much does it cost to get in here? Empty your pockets. Hey, wait a minute, I got a crore of rupees in there. Empty it. You come in. So then you want to go into the Rasa dance and the eternal pastimes of Krishna. You have to empty out the Purusha Bhav. Hey, you got a lot of Purusha Bhav in there. Empty it out. Because that was the impediment for Shiva to have darshan of Rasa Leela. Because he had Purusha Bhav. He came, hey, I'm Mahadev. Get out of the way, Lalita Saki. You know, and they said, hey, no way, Baba. You can't, the gate is work. We can't get through us. You know, what to do? You have to get a seva roop. You have to get a prakriti roop, prakriti bhav, seva bhav. You need the form of a surrendered servant. You need gopi roop. So then he went in. Our Gaudiya Acharyas say that he bathed in Brahmakund, which is next to Rangaji Temple. And there he got his, he did some tapasya, then he met Purnamasi, and she took him to Brahmakund, and they got a gopi roop. Then he went back, because Brahmakund is all part of the Rasastali, what we call the evening yoga pit of Vrindavan. The Rasastali itself, the eternal evening yoga pit, which is described in a shloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Divyad Brindaranya Kalpajumada, Srimad Ratnagra Simhasanasto, Srimad Srila Radha Govinda Devo, Preshta Alibi, Sevyamano Smarami. That verse describes the Govinda Stali, or the yoga pit of the evening Leela of Krishna. And that's located exactly on the top of the hill where the Purana Govindaji Mandir is located. It's right there. If we had the eyes to see it, we could see every night all the sakis sitting there on a Radharani and Krishna sitting on a golden lotus petal throne, surrounded by all the sakis offering tambul and chamar and the preshta alibi sevyamano smarami. And then from there, that's where they worship Radha and Krishna. Then they wander. So Brahmakund is considered north of there. Then north of there is Gopishwar, and north of there is Vamshibhat, and then Yamuna Pulin, and the whole Rasastali. So all those places are in the spiritual world. There's a Brahmakund in the spiritual world. There's Gopishwar Mahadev in the spiritual world. There's Govindastali. There's Yamuna Pulin. There's Vamshibhat. They're all there. So that's the point we're making. There's prototype spiritual demigods like Gopishwar, who's there at the entrance to Vamshibhat. But there, there's nobody there with Purushaviman, or Purusha, that's what it's called, Purushaviman, the mentality of a Purusha. But he's just there doing his eternal service. As I said, they're guarding the spiritual world. So he's guarding the Rasastali as a Digpal, protector, or you can say Leelapal, protecting that place. So Rig Veda goes on. Jiva Goswami quotes Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, Mahavaikuntha Varnan. That means the section that talks about the qualities of Mahavaikuntha. This is a quote. Many eternally perfect, glorious, and handsome demigods serve that spiritual planet. Goddess Saraswati is a form of Goddess Lakshmi, who stays on Lord Vishnu's chest. She is devotional service personified. She is the mother of the world. Now there's a little section about a Brahmana who is blessed by Saraswati. By his good fortune, one Saraswati appeared before that Brahmana's eyes. She gave him the benediction, "You will become victorious in all the three worlds." With a single glance, she can give Vishnu Bhakti, devotional service to Lord Vishnu. How then can she not have the power to make someone a Digvijay Pandit? So this is, you have to understand these tattvas, because once you get a grasp of it, you'll be able to put everything together very nicely. For example, when Lord Narayan's divine consort, Ramadevi, is going to have Yoga Nidra, or Leela pastimes, with Lord Narayan, she maintains a spiritual form and stays in the Narayan Loka with her Mahavishnu having pastimes. But when he desires to glance at the material energy and activate the deluding potency and have pastimes of creation, etc., then she expands herself into the form of Durga, which is somewhat, it's like the difference between milk and yogurt. It's just like when Mahavishnu glances, he doesn't directly contact the material energy, but he does so through the form of Shambhu, which is considered an adulterated or a adulterated form or a modified form of Mahavishnu. Shambhu is different. He's like yogurt, whereas Mahavishnu is like milk. So by contacting some lemon juice or some acid, then milk becomes yogurt. So he's similar to, but he's a little bit different. He's adulterated, or he's a little bit contaminated by contact with the modes of nature, whereas Mahavishnu is always pure and transcendental. So in the same way, Divya Saraswati, as this verse is saying, she resides in the spiritual world. She can bless anyone like Brahma, etc., with Vishnu Bhakti. But this particular Brahman, this Digvijay Pandit, he wanted to become a Shastra Vidvan. He wanted to become learned in all the Shastras. He wanted to become a Chaturvedi. He wanted to become a Digvijay Pandit. Dig means directions, and Vijay means victorious or conqueror of the directions. So he worshipped Saraswati. So then she manifested not as Divya Saraswati to give him spiritual mantras and spiritual knowledge, but she manifested her other aspect as the material Saraswati to give him the ability to be a big pundit. And now this is told in the Padma Purana. Now this same personality seems to have appeared in Gaur Leela, and he's described in Bhakti Ratnakar. So the Padma Purana describes this Brahman who got this benediction from Goddess Saraswati, the material Saraswati. So in other words, just like electricity is one energy, so sometimes it can run a heater and heat your room, and then it can go into a refrigerator and cool your room. The functions and activities are completely different between a refrigerator and a heater, but the energy is the same. So the functions and activities of Durga or the material Saraswati are different than the spiritual Saraswati, but the energy is the same. Like Durga and Radharani. It's still Shakti. It's still Shakti means electricity, energy. So Bhakti Ratnakar describes, "Once upon a time there was a renowned scholar who paid a visit to Navadvip. He advertised himself as the representative of Sri Saraswati Devi, by whose mercy he had become a great scholar. The professors of Navadvip were panic-stricken, and the people of Srikanda became bewildered. At that time, Lord Narayan, the husband of Saraswati Devi, lived in Navadvip as Nimai Pandit, and he was teaching his pupils Vyakaran and other scriptures on the bank of the river Janavi." So, obviously, the husband of Divya Saraswati is Lord Chaitanya or Krishna, and you see the difference between when you get blessed by Divya Saraswati and when you get blessed by the material Saraswati. Right? Because in that pastime, the Kashmiri Pandits, the Digvijay who had defeated everyone, had signatures of everyone who he defeated, he was blessed by Saraswati with material knowledge and learning. But when he met the husband of Divya Saraswati, Lord Narayan, come in the form of Lord Chaitanya, then they had discussions. He was defeated and he was bewildered. How is it? And then he meditated, and Saraswati appeah to him and said, "Oh, you don't understand. That Lord Chaitanya is God himself. He is my eternal consort. So you can't defeat him." So this is a little bit some discussion about these prototype demigods. Any question on that? A materialistic person who has material desires, right, ordinary person, his desires are fulfilled by the super soul. I discussed that some classes ago. The super soul, through the agency of the demigods, fulfills all the desires and reminds us of our desire, reminds us of our prarabdha karmas. We don't know. And I gave a very long discussion about that. So what's being discussed in this purport is the whole activity of desire. It has a spiritual foundation, as a spiritual source. Often you'll hear in Prabhupada's tapes and in his books, they said the only thing that the jivatma has in his hand is what?
Desire.
This is the only thing. So desire is eternal. That's why Prabhupada says the Buddhists, they try to kill desire or, you know, annihilate desire, and you can't, because it's concomitant with the soul. It's eternal. So the pure desire, because desire personified the calm beach, the calm beach is Klim. So Klim is Radha and Krishna, and the desire for loving them and serving them, the desire that Krishna has to love Radharani and Radharani has to love Krishna. So this original pure desire is in every single part and parcel of Krishna. It's, you know, you can't. In other words, the effect has what's in the cause. The effect can't have less than the cause or more than the cause. It can be a matter of percentage or amount, but it can't be different. So therefore, what happens is that all desires are being fulfilled by Krishna. But when we're free from all selfish desires, then that eternal dormant desire manifests. That's exactly what it says. When all selfish desires are retired and mundane desires, then he attains is the core of his heart's desire, because the core of every heart has a desire to love Krishna. So once you remove and purify all the separate desires except that one, then you're left with one desire, to serve Krishna. Then Krishna, through his shaktis, makes all arrangement for that to be fulfilled. In this case, his shaktis are his divya shaktis, like Saraswati and like Radharani and like Guru Shakti. Guru Shakti is one shakti. Gaur Shakti, Guru Shakti, Bhakti Shakti. And then when that original pure desire is all covered up by all kinds of selfish desires, then all of Krishna's other shaktis, you know, his Srishti Shakti and his all these other material energies and demigods, they make arrangements to fulfill those wayward material desires. Another question? Just a small note. It's just a summary of the purport. The Kama Bija can fulfill both material and spiritual desires. That's, just to further to finish this up, the Kama Bija the Kama Bija is not in the hands of the non-devotee. The Kama Bija is in the hands of the devotee, or one who's been initiated to it. So that bija will fulfill the desire. That bija is Radha and Krishna. They will fulfill the desires, spiritual desires or material desires, but they'll fulfill the material desires in a different form. And that's very quickly, very powerfully. Whereas the materialist, the main point that's being said here is you have to be careful. That the purpose of this mantra, as you'll see in these discussions, is to make the soul run after Krishna. Whereas a normal materialist, his desires are just being fulfilled one after the other by the arrangement of the super soul and demigods, according to his pravda. But as you see in his purport in line 3, one aspect of this mantra is it makes the pure soul run after Krishna. So that's the whole meaning of Kam Gayatri. So the idea is not that how does the non-devotee get his desires fulfilled, and then, you know, because it says here that if a devotee, if you chant this with you know, material desires, it will fulfill those. The idea is you're not supposed to have material desires when you chant the mantra. You're supposed to retire those and keep and control your mind and meditate on the actual goal of life and understand a conception. I mean, we wrote a whole book about, you know, Gayatri Mantra. We'll read some passages, which is a very helpful book. I mean, it's very helpful to actually understand the mantras that we're chanting. This book, I'm glad some different languages has been translated, and we're communicating with people about printing it in Russian. It's translated into Russian, maybe printed soon. And I'm very happy to see that, because this is I feel this book is a particularly important piece of scripture. Very helpful for the devotees. Other books may be more like not so essential, but I feel this particular book is very essential for devotees who want to make progress in Krishna consciousness. If you've read it, that's nice. But it's a book you have to study, and it's for guiding your meditation, to helping you. The whole idea of that was to improve everyone's bhakti by this proper chanting of the mantras. And the purport explained, Kam Bija can fulfill both spiritual and material desires. In this case, Brahma is being encouraged that he'll be able to fulfill his desire to create by the mercy of this mantra. So he's being encouraged by Saraswati, because she sees that she knows the power of the mantra. Mantras are like that, ultimately. That, like Saraswati, she sees that Brahma, he's in anxiety and he's bewildered about his duty. At the same time, he has desire to do his material duty, to create. And the reason he has that desire is because of his purva samskaras, which we heard the other day in the other verse. His purva samskaras are his previous activities, his previous life as Brahma when he was the creator. So now he's remembering that, and he's thinking, yes, I was a creator, and I have to create. And I don't know how, and I forgot. And how do you do it? And so then he had material desire. So then she came to him and she gave him the Gopal mantra and said, she said, this will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. Mantram te dasyati priyam. This will give you dasyati, your priyam, your heart's desire. So she was kind of tricking him in one sense, because he thought his desire was to create. Just like we sometimes trick people and give them prasadam or something. What's this? Is this some kind of special, you come some kind of stuff in this food or something? I'm going to start chanting Hare Krishna. No, this is just cake. Don't worry about it. And you give it, and pretty soon the person gets hooked and they start chanting Hare Krishna. Because it's special, you know, it's divine, it has divine power, this prasadam. So in the same way, Brahma got tricked by Saraswati. This is the nature of ladies, you know, they're very tricky. So Saraswati, he's the first guy to appear on the scene, right? And then the first lady to appear on the scene is Divya Saraswati. So she's very clever, like the lady, and she tricked him. She's, oh, you want something material? Oh, you want to fulfill your desires? I remember there was one devotee, he came to ISKCON, and he had a desire to be a movie star. So he had gone to Bollywood or Bombay or whatever it is, and he was trying out, and you know, he wanted to be a movie star. So he met some devotees a few years ago, and they said, oh, you want to be a movie star? You just chant this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then you'll get whatever you want, you'll become a movie star. So he's chanting and chanting, and pretty soon after some time, he started to think, oh, what's the sense of being a movie star? There's so many movie stars. Why don't I be a real star and get out of this material world and go back home, back to God, and star in Krishna's traveling road show and his transcendental lila? So in this way, Saraswati, she's tricking Brahma that he will chant this mantra and he will fulfill his desire to create. At the same time, he will please the Lord and hear his flute and get initiated in all those things. So it's like the mother giving candy-coated medicine. The medicine is very bitter, So they, you know, dip it in honey, or they say, oh, this is a nice candy. You take it, you know. And then the kid starts chewing it. No, no, you don't chew it. Just swallow it. And if he chews it, it's so bitter. So this is the trick of Saraswati, that with this mantra, she fulfilled his material desire and also his heart's desire. And then he became a great devotee of the Lord and recited so many prayers. He didn't have any idea. He didn't pray, oh, God, I'm in darkness. I want to recite beautiful prayers to glorify you, Krishna. Please empower me with knowledge. And so he didn't say anything. He didn't have any desire like that. Didn't think anything like that. He said, I want to create. This is my Purva Samskara, right? And he got the mantra, then he chanted, then he got purified of that desire to create, although he had to fulfill it because it was already established as a samskara, and that was his duty and seva. So he created. But then he got the Kam Gayatri and Brahma Gayatri, and then he got enlightened. He got really enlightened. And when once he was enlightened, he was also detached. Enlightened, detached, and empowered to actually get in touch with his heart's desire, which is the heart's desire of every jiva, is to glorify and love Krishna. So then he did. Chintamani prakarasadma shukalpa briksha laksha vritesha surabhira pipalayantam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. But he was singing a different tune now. He wasn't singing, hey, Govinda, Adi Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. You know, Bhajami, I worship you. And he wasn't saying that now. He said, hey, give me some power, man. I got to create. Give me some knowledge, ability, intelligence. He's Adi Kavaye. But at this point, he's Adi Morkaye. Mork means fool. Kavi means intelligent. He's the Adi Kavi, but he didn't have any intelligence till he got this mantra. Just like when we get mantra, then we get intelligence. So he got mantra, then he got intelligence. Then he got more intelligence with more mantra. And with intelligence comes realization. There's one section in the purport that says, on page 41, is it? The last line, the Kam Bija pervertedly reflected in the worldly affairs satisfies all sorts of desires of this mundane world. This kind of goes back to Parvati's question. Now here's a note I have on that. How is the Kam Bija pervertedly reflected within worldly affairs? And this is what Jiva explained. All the worldly material desires of husband, wife, child, father, mother, sons are all originally in the Shuddha Vastu and in the pure position in the Kama Bija Mantra Klim. Actually, I discussed that. In other words, all these desires that we express for different relationships, Sakya Ras, Vatsali Ras, you know, like it says, the husband, the wife, the child, the father, the mother, the son, the friend, they're all originally in Shuddha Vastu. Vastu means substance and Shuddha means pure. And their pure form and their pure substance are there in the Klim, in the Kam Bija Mantra Klim. So it's pervertedly, that's why the verse says, it's the Klim is pervertedly reflected. In other words, spiritual love affairs and spiritual rasas, which are culminated in a relationship between Radha and Krishna, who are depicted and described by the Klim mantra, Kam Bij mantra. They are represented there, and all the rasas are simply variations and variegated forms of Madhurya Ras between Radha and Krishna. They're simply perverted relationships of this Kam Bij mantra. That's why it says the Kam Bij, pervertedly reflected in worldly affairs, satisfies all sorts of desires of the mundane world. But tomorrow we'll discuss, we have more to discuss on verse 24. Rama Samhita Ki Jai Ho.